The Toronto Bach Festival was founded in 2016 by internationally recognized Bach authority John Abinger to celebrate the creative genius of J.S. Bach by engaging, informing, and inspiring the public through live performance. And there have been many great ones. This year, the festival is inviting you to experience the timeless music of Bach through the lens of his own reworkings. Bach's tireless work to perfect his art gives us a new look at familiar works and leads to fresh interpretive revelations. This year, the Brandenburg Concerto No. 6 and take in the rare and enchanting tones of the Lautenwerk keyboard, delight in the joyful lyricism of the Wedding Cantata and the popular Kaffeehaus, several of those, and be moved by the profound depths of the St. John Passion under the masterful direction of their special guest artist, John Butt. TorontoBachFestival.org is the website, with the bulk of the events happening on the Danforth once again this year. Eastminster United Church, that's 310 Danforth Avenue. And that's a week Friday, May 30th through Sunday, June 1st. Joining us indeed, the founder and the artistic director with the Toronto Bach Festival, John Abinger, one of North America's leading performers on historical oboes. He was principal oboist with Tafo Music in Toronto for 35 years, 1989 through 2024. He's performed extensively in North America, Europe, and Asia with these ensembles and appears regularly with other prominent period instrument ensembles and so many, Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, the Washington Bach Consort in Portland, Handel and Haydn Society, the Boston Baroque. He also serves on the faculty of the University of Toronto. And John, welcome back.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be with you.
Great to be with you. Why did you feel this was important to start this festival almost a decade ago now?
Well, the genius of Bach's music is one of the stars in the constellation of Western European music. I mean, everyone knows Bach's name. Mm-hmm. Even people who don't listen to a lot of music are aware that he's one of the greatest composers up there with Brahms and Beethoven, right?
Okay. Yeah. I love that debate. Okay. Yeah. Who is the greatest?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to, you're don't not really gonna have to ask me, do you?
I'm with you on it, though. Yeah. I do think he's the great one. You know?
Oh, I don't know if you want me to get going here, but
of course,
Bach, everything that came later wouldn't have been possible without what Bach did, and I'm not going to get technical about it, but he provided the building blocks of Western harmony. He solidified it in a way that Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, they took it and ran with it. But he set that up. So we wouldn't have those guys. We wouldn't have Brahms. We wouldn't have Bartok. We wouldn't have any of them without Bach.
I think what also astonishes me about him is how he borrows from himself throughout his career, and he's so prolific, right? He's just, there's so much music.
Yeah, there's a lot of music. But he was very clever at repurposing it when he needed to.
Yeah.
And needless to say, revising it. I mean, I think he had a strong work ethic. He had this ideal sense of how he wanted his music to work.
Yeah.
So we're really interested to provide for the public this year to be a part of our festival this revised version of the St. John Passion that's not heard very often.
So tell us about this theme. It looks to Bach and what he did in his career. What did you loosely base this on?
Well, my point of departure was this really interesting revised version, second version of 4 of the St. John Passion.
Right.
We're particularly blessed. A lot of Bach's performance music has been lost over time. But in the case of the St. John Passion, we actually have a very clear picture from some revised scores and some revised part books of what these different versions looked like. Not in absolutely every detail, but in large part. So we can see that the second version was quite different. And I'm very excited because there are 3 arias that you've probably never heard.
Wow.
And they're great Bach arias.
I love it. Once again, that is St. John Passion, Sunday, June 1st, 3 p.m. And that's at Eastminster United Church, 310 Danforth. So that's a nice jumping off point. Tell us about Brandenburg Reimagined, because that's kind of where we launch the whole weekend, right?
That's right. We all love the Brandenburg Concertos. Anyone who loves Bach, and even people who aren't huge Bach fans, know the Brandenburg.
I think we love them because they are so accessible. He's outside of the church for these, and it's a wonderful display of a different part of his brain. Right?
Exactly, exactly. So my dear friend Bruce Haynes, who is a great oboist and a great Bach lover, but you have to understand, all oboists are Bach lovers. Anyway, Bruce decided that 6 Brandenburgs were not enough.
Right.
So he started mining Bach's sacred cantatas, and you'll find Brandenburg movements sprinkled in there. So he did use Brandenburg movements in the context of his church cantatas, his sacred cantatas that he, you know, produced every Sunday, basically. So, you know, we can guess, well, maybe there's some other orchestral movements that might have been a part of another concerto. So Bruce went to work and he came up with six more concertos. Several of them have intrigued me.
It is fascinating, right? This is a popular thing to do. I mean, we hear reimaginings of Vivaldi. We hear these different ideas and some of them land. And obviously, you've got to be the filter to get this to your audience. Yeah. And so you must believe in it.
I want to be very clear. It's all Bach's music.
Yeah, of course.
We've just changed the instrumentation in effect and tweaked it a little bit.
Probably for the better.
Well, who knows? Who knows? I don't know if he'd be delighted or horrified. Maybe he'd be delighted.
Right. So
this number, Brandenburg number 12, that Bruce and his wife, Susie Knapper, who will be performing with us, came up with, takes two arias from sacred cantatas and then an orchestral movement from another sacred cantata and turns it into a concerto.
Wonderful. Friday, May 30th, 8 p.m. It is the start of the Toronto Bach Festival. Once again, Eastminster United Church, 310 Danforth. And if you are just joining us, that website, torontobachfestival.org, the bulk of the events happening in that venue. And that's starting a week Friday, Friday, May 30th through Sunday, June 1st. Artistic director with the Toronto Bach Festival, John Abiger, is with us. And, well, let's talk about this very, very popular thing that's not happening on the Danforth. And that is these cafe house events. You've got two of them. One is sold out in the afternoon,
right,
and you've got an 8 p.m. So tell us what it even is and what you try to do with them.
Well, Bach was in charge of what was called the Leipzig Collegium Musicum, which was an orchestral ensemble that performed in a cafe in Leipzig, off and on over much of his time in Leipzig, which was between 1723 and 1750. He was involved with this ensemble. And Zimmermann's Kaffeehaus was the venue for these concerts. In fact, some of them in the summer months were even outside.
Right.
We don't know too much about how that worked.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. But during the winter, they were on Friday nights in the coffee house. And we know that there was this fertile mix of musicians that worked with Bach in the church and university students and visiting musicians that came through and would perform there. Some of them composers bringing their music, others performing with the ensemble. And it was this incredibly...
A bit of a salon, you would say.
Rich, exactly,
yeah, sure.
Precisely.
Yeah. And so you're doing two, and what can people expect?
Well, you can expect, first of all, some really interesting music. There's some great Bach, and we're particularly pleased to be presenting this year the late Jean Lemann's arrangement of the famous Chaconne from the D minor solo violin partita.
Wonderful.
In a version for two violins and cello. So she kind of fills out the harmonies. And it's an extraordinary piece of music.
So nice chamber music. Can we actually get coffee inside?
Absolutely. You can get coffee. You can get beer and wine.
Lovely. And remind us of the venue for that, too.
That is at the Church of Holy Trinity, which is the one that's tucked behind the Eaton Center.
Okay. I like that church.
It's a very nice church. A lot of people don't even know it's there.
I know. It is
hidden. And it's very accessible, very close to the Eaton Center, very close to the TTC there.
Very close to the subway. Absolutely. Yeah. So two chances to enjoy the coffee house on the Saturday. And we should talk about the Bach keyboard as well, which is happening at noon on Saturday, once again on the Danforth.
Well, I'm particularly excited about this, because the Lautenwerk is an instrument that we know Bach owned, not one, but two.
I don't know much about this one. I always hear about the forte piano and so on, but the Lautenwerk.
Yeah. Well, that's because none of them survived into our time.
Okay.
So we've had to kind of guess at what they might have looked like, or what we know what they probably sounded like, because we know that it was a harpsichord strung with gut strings rather than metal strings.
Okay, fair enough. We hear a lot of violinists play with gut strings and so on.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
And so you're going to recreate this sound and then have that keyboard.
Well, the Lautenwerk is a solo recital.
Right.
With some works that our guest artist, Dong Suk Shin, who's a great performer from New York and is bringing this Lautenwerk with him.
Wow.
Across the border.
All right.
the dangerous border.
He's going to need a few extra plane seats for that.
But
I assume he's going to be driving.
He's going to be driving.
Okay,
very
good.
But it's going to be a glimpse into Bach's sound world that we don't get very often. So I'm really pleased to present that to our audience here in Toronto.
And my understanding is that so far you've sold more festival passes this time around than you have ever done. So it's proving to be a very popular festival, you know?
Well, we like to think that we've converted some single ticket buyers into pass holders, because we're happy for you to come to any of our concerts, but we emphasize that attending the whole weekend gives you this immersive experience of Bach, and you get a better deal on the concert tickets, and it makes for a delightful experience of Bach.
That's right. You can just enjoy the whole weekend. So the festival pass or single passes, torontobachfestival.org, the website, so it's all there. The concert's Friday night, Saturday with the Coffee House performances, Sunday as well. Pick up those tickets, torontobachfestival.org. We're with John Abinger. I'd be remiss if we didn't say congratulations on this incredible career with Tafu Music. I know we're probably going to see you there from time to time, but gosh, I know you're being so well on that stage. And how's it feel at this point?
Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful career with Tafu Music, 35 wonderful years. And I do hope to be there again from time to time. But it's time for me to move over and let the next generation have a chance and focus my energies more on other projects.
We don't see that much succession planning these days, you know, in the world stage. So that is awfully good of you to do that and standing up for young artists. Yeah. John Abinger, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Mark. It's great.
TorontoBachFestival.org. And let's listen to a little music here, the Bach Prelude, Fugue, and Allegro.